the River of Anointing, and that's what we are all about at Beacon of Hope. Welcome to Living the Good Life, right here live in Clearwater, Florida, and it is a gorgeous day, Shell.
It's beautiful out.
Oh, it is. Sunny. You have to get that closer to you. Oh, my gosh. Yes, it's gorgeous. The sun is out, and it's not raining today, and wow.
It's snow in Philly.
They do. I know. Yes. We have nothing but sunshine and gorgeous here. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister with my two cohorts for the day. Shell, right to my right,
hello.
Lauren Gray, and she's a regular contributor here. And Aaron Boone, you are filling in for Madeline today, but you were on a couple weeks ago filling in for somebody, I think.
Yeah.
Welcome, and you're getting over your little, uneasiness or nervousness here on the air, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You sound like Connie. Yes. No. Yes.
I don't know. It's not really uneasy for me.
No. No, it's okay. You're all right. You're comfortable. So, it's a bright, sunny day. We're excited about what God is doing in our lives. Woo-hoo. And I'm still kind of ramped from this morning, you know? Wow. Did we have church today?
We had church.
We did? You're sure?
I'm positive.
Yeah. Somebody thought I had a Diet Coke right before church. Didn't
they?
More than one. More than one.
You thought you had a couple.
You thought I had a couple Diet Cokes or one of those little 5-minute energy drinks?
Yeah.
None of them.
I think they're 5-hour, actually.
$5.
I don't know. 5-hour. 5-hour.
5-hour. I thought it was 5-minute.
No.
Oh,
it's 5 hours.
It's a 5-hour energy drink.
5 minutes really get you.
And it probably does cost $5. But anyway, okay. But none of that was true. I was just like excited about being in the house of the Lord. Yeah, thanks, Shell. Was I excited about that at all?
I'll vouch for that.
You will vouch for that. Yes. Yes. Because there is so much that God is doing in our lives, and we're excited about the move of God in our lives. We're excited about what he's doing. And was the music good today, Shell, or was the music good?
It's always good, but it's awesome with our live musician here, who's actually the sub today, too.
Right, and she's going to actually be doing some live music right here on this show, and it's going to be great.
Stay tuned.
Oh, there you go. Shell, see, she's even doing those words I like to use. Stay tuned, be right back, stuff like that. Yeah, that's great. Now, it's so exciting because, Shell, you and Diana were here with us from 2 or 3 years back when we did not have any musicians or singers.
Yeah, that's why we appreciate it so much.
We do appreciate
it. Now we really know what we're missing.
Right. Because back then, we just had canned type, what we used to call karaoke music, right? And, I mean, we did the best we could with what we had there for a while when we didn't have musicians. But we all got together a couple years ago, and we started believing God for a live band again.
Yeah, and here it is.
And here it is.
Bringing it to you today.
Bring it to you live right here today, Aaron Boone. So it's exciting because God answered our prayers, and it's so cool to have all those musicians, and the platform is crowded, and it's a wonderful thing to have that, isn't it?
It is. We're on the floor, some of us.
Yes, some of yours, on the floor instead of on the platform.
Jim and I just kind of
go off to the side. Well, our platform is actually twice that big, and the other half is still in storage. So when we do expand and go to a bigger place, then you all will have a place on the platform, which is kind of exciting. So anyway, God's doing great things at Beacon of Hope. We are in Clearwater, Florida on Almerton Road, next to the Golden Diamond Source and behind Burger King. And let's see, there's a whole lot of other things we're behind. I can't hear you. You're not coming on.
I'm just showing her. I was showing her in pantomime how close to be to the microphone.
Oh, there you go. All right.
So I wouldn't interrupt you there.
Yeah, thank you very much. That is our engineer, Bill, and formerly known as Elroy the Traffic Boy on Joy FM. That's his claim to fame, Elroy. I mean, did you pick that name, or
I think they picked it out.
I think they did. Anyway, we're so glad that he does a great job on our show. We are just We love Engineer Bill. He's really good. So we've got a lot to get to today, and we're teaching a series right now, Being Blessed Beyond, which is talking about the blessings of God and that they are for each of us and how we can learn to walk in those blessings. And it's an exciting series, if I don't say so myself. So I just said so myself. So what do you think, Shell? Do you think this is a good series? Because I just really do, and I'm teaching it.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, it wakes me up.
Does it? That wakes you up? Yeah. I'm enjoying hearing what I have to say. Mm-hmm. And it's...
And I enjoy watching you enjoy yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All righty then. So, Aaron Boone.
Yes, ma'am.
This is a wonderful topic, being blessed. And I think a lot of us, like you and I and Shell, that all grew up in church, maybe did not hear this preached that much, right?
Right. That's for sure.
Yep. There she goes. Just like Connie. Got that one word answer. You could expound on that a tiny bit. Maybe later. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. No problem. Anyway, we do have live music today, and we do have the prayer line that is always running 24/7. Now in its, I think, fourth year, maybe. It's been a long time that we have had the prayer line, and the prayer line is prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. You do not have to attend Beacon of Hope to be able to send prayer requests into that prayer line. We get requests from all different people all over the United States, some other countries, and a couple different emails from different countries just recently. And so we are so glad for those that listen to this show, because it is global on the internet, and that's a cool thing. And so you can always send your prayer requests into prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com, and it will get answered, and a prayer will be sent out, and we will pray for you. So let's get right to this wonderful group, Casting Crowns. Some of us are going to a Casting Crowns
Yes.
concert.
That will be a good time.
This is November 18th. You guys going? Because Connie can still get tickets, I believe. And it is up in Tampa at...
Actually, tickets are sold out now.
I did
they
not
sold
know.
Out so quick.
Well, I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
Okay. Are. All right. So, but anyway, it is in November the 18th on a Friday night, I believe, Casting Crowns.
Let's hear it. Tell us how it was.
Yeah, we'll tell you how it was. Or if somebody backs out, there might be some tickets. All right, here we go. This is The Well, brand new Casting Crowns song.
Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. I have what you need, but you keep on searching. I've done all the work, but you keep on working. When you're running on empty and you can't find the remedy, just come to the well. You can spend your whole life chasing what's missing, but that empty inside, you just ain't gonna listen. When nothing can satisfy and the world leaves you high and dry, just come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. So bring me your heart, no matter how broken. Just come as you are, when your last prayer is spoken. Just rest in my arms a while, you'll feel the change, my child, when you come to the well. It's all who thirst will thirst no more, and all who search will Now that you're full of love beyond measure, your joy's gonna flow like a stream in the desert. Soon all the world will see the living water is found in me. 'Cause you come to the well. Yeah. It's all who thirst will thirst no more. It's all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. Leave it all behind and come to the well. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind.
Your pursuit of perfection.
Leave it all behind.
Your fear of rejection.
Leave it all behind.
God, I love that new song by Casting Crowns. Leave it all behind and come to the well. That's the story of the woman at the well. And that is a powerful story. We're going to Genesis 39, and we are going on with our series. If you have just joined us, this is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we are in Genesis 39, and we are studying the whole subject of being blessed beyond. We're basing this series on Ephesians 3:20 that says, "Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. To him be the glory now and in the church forevermore." God wants to do above and beyond what you expect even. He wants to bless you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. He wants to bless your job. He wants to bless your relationships. He wants to bless your family. He wants to bless all that concerns you. And instead of believing that, a lot of us have been caught in the negativity from culture and the society that we live in right now. I don't know about y'all, but I don't turn on the news as often as I used to because I'm a realtor and, you know, it never sounds very good for my occupation. So I find I do better just not to listen to those housing reports and believe God for the business to come my way. And a lot of times we can be so down by negativity that we don't get all the blessings. So let's go to Genesis 39 and we're going to talk about Joseph. We left him last week on this show. If you did not hear last week's show, go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and you can listen to it in its entirety, beaconofhopeministries.com. Genesis 39, verse 1, after Joseph had been taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelites, Potiphar, an Egyptian, one of Pharaoh's officials, and the manager of his household bought him from them. Now, what was happening here is that Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. Joseph is son number 11. Joseph was born to Jacob's favorite wife, Rachel. Beautiful, beautiful woman. And he became the one who inherited the birthright, even though it should have been with Reuben, the firstborn. But Reuben did some things to disinherit himself. Therefore, Joseph is the one going to inherit the birthright. And we've all heard about Joseph and his coat of many colors in Sunday school, probably when you were little. And the coat of many colors was actually made for Joseph by his father, Jacob, because Jacob understood this was the son number 11, who was going to inherit the birthright. Inheriting the birthright meant that he would get a double portion of everything. He would have more blessing than any of the others, and he would basically become the head of the family. So that's what happened to Joseph. But before that could actually happen, before Joseph saw the blessings, Joseph had to go through a huge trial. And I'm going to be talking to you two in a little while about the trials in our lives and why they're there and what happens and how we handle those. Because here's what happened to Joseph. That's just a heads up so you can be thinking. All right. So here's what happened to Joseph. Joseph was sold by his jealous brothers. He was sold into slavery. They were actually going to kill him. They were actually planning to kill him because they were so jealous of how his father loved him so much. So instead of that was in Genesis 37 from last week. And that whole scenario is on last week's show. But because his brother Judah spoke up and said, let's don't kill him. Let's sell him. You know, that's a better plan. So he doesn't die. And, you know, God was speaking through Judah because God wanted to preserve the line through Joseph. Actually, interestingly enough, then the line of Jesus came through Judah. Of all the 12 boys, Jesus came through that line. And Judah's the one who spoke up and said, we're not going to kill him. We're going to sell him. They sold him to some passersby. I love that because I've got an English teacher sitting here beside me. It's not passerbys.
Passersby.
It's passersby, correct? English teacher?
Yes.
And they sold him to these guys, these Ishmaelites, and they sold him for $12.80, which is amazing. What a bargain. And so he got in the, I don't think it was a stagecoach, and I certainly don't think it was a helicopter. I think it was a camel or something like that. Something very, very primitive, you know. And he got there and he was taken down to Egypt, which was quite a journey. And when he got to Egypt, he was sold to the Pharaoh's chief of staff, which is Potiphar. Now, I think the reason that the slave traders sold him to Pharaoh is because they got the maximum price for him. So it was not that they thought, oh, let's make his life better. Let's sell him to Pharaoh. It was because they could get more money for him. So he sold to Pharaoh's household. And the person that became his overseer or mentor was a guy named Potiphar. And Potiphar was in charge of everything that Pharaoh had. And Pharaoh was the king of Egypt, the ruler of Egypt. Potiphar. Joseph was put in Potiphar's personal home. And it says here in Genesis 39, actually, Shell, do you have it there? Let's read verses 2 through 5. And let's find out what it was like in the house of Potiphar.
Okay. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to him everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field.
That's very interesting, don't you think? Aaron, you got a picture of that, of what was going on?
Yes.
Yes. So there she is again. But I think she's about ready to comment more extensively now on that. Aaron, picture for us. Tell us what was going on here. Joseph was sold to Potiphar. And what happened to Potiphar's household from the moment that Joseph was sold to him?
There was favor on it.
Favor on it. Absolutely. Favor. And so everything in the household was running very well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it says that his household was blessed. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I would love to really walk in this more, that when people are around me, they are blessed by just being around me. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I believe that is God's ideal for us, Shell. I believe that God wants us to be in such a place with him that when people interact with us, not only do they sense that there's something different about us, but they realize, wait a minute, you know, just that interaction with this person is causing my life for me to have a better day today, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Alrighty then. Okay, these guys are super talkative. Man, all right. I don't know. I can't get a word in edgewise. So I love it. They'll talk more in a minute when I actually ask them specific questions, I'm sure. So in the meantime, pray about what you're to say. No. The blessing, I'm teasing them. The blessing of the Lord spread over everything that Potiphar had. And everything was going well. It says that Joseph was successful. It says in verse 2 that God was with Joseph, okay? And God is with every single one of us, is he not? On a daily basis, 24/7, God never leaves us. That's what he promises. He never, ever leaves us. So here we see Joseph is walking in favor. Now, this had to be God's intervention because Joseph could have been sold to anybody. And then we would not have seen the tremendous miracles that happened as a result of where he was sold. So I ask the two of you, in life, don't you think there are opportunities that happen to us where we could take a crossroads and go the wrong direction? We could take the crossroads and be blessed abundantly, but we're given a free choice, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. And you two, I'm going to have to get more. They're playing with us now. I tell you, you know what? They have decided. Their answers will be short and concise.
I put my entire fate and faith in God that he would place me in the right spot.
Exactly.
You know?
Yes.
And he did put me where I was needed, I think. And
in the job that you have now?
In the job that I have now.
Okay.
Yes.
That's the point.
I think every day I'm helping somebody, definitely.
Yes.
And try to be a little shiny spot, a little place where they can come and...
ray of sunshine.
Well, where they can come and feel safe.
Right. Exactly.
And talk to somebody, you know, who will treat them like a human being.
Right. Exactly.
Because it can be a very stressful environment, so... I offer them the safe haven. My door's always open.
And that's fantastic.
Yeah, when they come in, you know, we joke around and stuff, and they don't have to be on.
Exactly.
So,
and as you have contact with the students in that university, the things that are going on in their lives, you may be hearing some of that.
It's a lot of turmoil.
It's a lot of turmoil, and it's hard. It's hard with what they're going through in their studies. And but when you realize that God has placed you in a certain place...
I think that's what keeps me going every day.
Right.
Like at the end of the week when I feel that my will to live has been sucked dry.
Okay.
By all the students around me asking in so much need.
Right.
And not always having the answers. And just some that are so bad off.
Right.
Some are inspiring, though, the situations they're going through, and yet they persevere.
Right.
But, you know, also the toxic work environment, just the employees I work with, the leadership there, it can
be difficult.
Very trying, and I pray to God all the time, you know, to give me the strength to keep going. And I know that they are trials.
Yes.
And that what goes down comes up again, and vice versa. And it's just a temporary thing. So,
but when you're in a position like you are in this university show where you can actually speak life to people, you can speak encouragement, and you can speak that, hey, God's going to take care of this. It's going to be okay. You have a place where God can just use you and bless others through your life, which is exactly what was going on here with Joseph.
When I run out of solutions or ideas, I always ask them a single question.
Do you?
Yeah. Do you read the Bible?
Do you read the Bible?
And some of them say, you know, I haven't in a while. And, you know, I ask them about if they're spiritual, if they have spirituality, because a lot of times they're surprised. They're caught off guard that I would ask them that. But we're a for-profit private school, so you can kind of get away with that.
Sure.
But I ask them, and they don't, I was surprised because I didn't think it'd be well received, but a lot of them start talking about it and saying, you know, they need to go to church more, or they need to remember they don't have it so bad, they need to pray, they need to use the Bible, because they are studying other books, but that's not one they often pick up.
So. Right. But the fact that you boldly ask that, you know, I think that is fantastic because so many people don't expect that. They don't expect you to talk about God. That's just, it's almost like the politics and religion type thing, you know, and you just kind of stay away from it. But when you boldly say, do you read your Bible? And, you know, for our listeners out there, this is a critical question. And I'm glad you brought that up because it is critical. Do you read your Bible? It is. Do you ever pick it up? I mean, because the truths in here, the word is alive and it will change your life. Aaron, do you have a comment on any of that?
I don't know. It just crossed my mind when she was talking about, you know, filling yourself up with Jesus and whatnot. And when the new Casting Crown CD came out, there was an interview with Mark Hall, and he said, what would it look like if I came to Jesus first instead of filling myself up with, you know, other things?
Huge.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, just even things that we don't even, like, look at like that, you know? Like, like... if I was at work and one of my kids made me a card and I was like, oh yeah, see, I'm touching somebody's life,
right?
But it's not about me. And if I fill myself up with Jesus first,
right,
then I'm good, you know?
Yeah.
Instead of filling myself up with things that I don't need, that aren't gratifying at all, they're not going to help me.
Well, don't you believe, both of you, and don't just say yes, okay? Don't you believe that Joseph had to be full of God to endure everything he endured and to make some tough decisions that he made and to stay focused when now he's been sold away from his homeland? He's a long way away, several days' journey, and he's sold, and now he's in this position where... he's in a kind of a delicate position of being basically chief of staff to the highest official there. I mean, you know, he's like in charge of the chief of staff stuff, you know, his whole home. And I mean, I don't know about you, but I would think that that would put a lot of like dependence on God in Joseph because he's like in a very, very important position.
Yeah, no joke. I mean, I don't know. I can just see him like talking to the Lord about all the things, you know. I mean, there's just, when you read this story, there's so much evidence that the Lord had his hand specifically on him, you know? I mean, just intricately guiding him wherever. I mean, and he has favor with the Lord continuously throughout the entire story. I mean,
all the way, you know, through his life,
being sold to the people that he was sold to being sold into, you know, where he was under Potiphar and whatnot. And even when, you know, Potiphar's wife with, you know, which I know we haven't quite gotten to yet, but
you can tell us what happened.
Even when, you know, Potiphar's wife tries to seduce him and
Zuleika.
Yeah.
Is her
Zuzu.
Name. Zuzu. Yes. That's morning. A nice name. Yes. Isn't
I
it?
Mean, even with that whole situation, even when he went to jail, he has favor there and continues to have favor throughout.
Exactly.
When all the dreams and everything are coming about, and it's just, it's crazy.
Amazing, isn't it?
Isn't it?
And I really think that's total dependence on God. Because, I mean, when Joseph was first in the field, you know, in chapter 37, when he was thrown into this big well, this dry well, he could have forever been there for the rest of his life. You know, that died there, right in that well. I mean, that was what some of the brothers wanted. Just throw him in the well. Let's leave him. Let's go on. He'll never get out. Because he couldn't have gotten out physically, humanly. He could not have gotten out of that, you know. And so here we have a situation where what was Joseph doing in that well? I believe that he was talking to God and, okay, God, I don't understand why this is going on right now, but I thank you because. Now, here's the point. Oh, I didn't bring this out this morning. This is a really good point. A couple chapters ago, I think it was in chapter 35, we see that Joseph was a dreamer. He had dreams. And he had dreams about the fact that the sun and the moon and the 11 stars, if you remember that dream, were all going to bow down to him. Now, that eventually happens. I'm not going to throw that out there so you know what happens. But back, if you know, several weeks, months before all of this tragedy of him being sold into slavery, he was given prophetic dreams that told him God wasn't done with him yet. So I really believe that there are these crossroads times in our lives where we could go the wrong way. We could actually end up dying, or we could make such wrong choices. But when we have had God say, wait a minute, I've got something for your future. Jeremiah 29, 11 to 14. I love that. I love that. I love that. And it says, you know, that thus says the Lord, you know, I've got a plan for your life. You know, I've got, you've got future and hope, you know. And so when we look at life that way, it changes everything. Shell, there have been times in your life that you had to make a choice to go with what was God's plan as opposed to going down the wrong crossroads path, right?
Yeah, I learned that to have faith, true faith.
Right.
You have to go through these trials and tribulations.
Amen.
You have to have total dependence on God.
That's it. Bingo, bingo, bingo. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Just a minute.
Everything.
Thank you.
I mean, that is such a huge point. You know, because you have to develop the dependence. You are exactly right. You're speaking from somebody who knows, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. It took me a long time to learn it. But, I mean, because I've been talking about this recently. You know, I have been prosperous and I have been blessed in the last couple of years. And people who don't know my life story, you know, act as if I was born with a silver spoon in my
right.
in my mouth. And, you know, I have a friend who was, I hung out with him in childhood. He was a best friend for many years on up into my 20s. And I made bad, bad decisions when I was with him.
Yeah.
And I knew that I had to get away from that and mm-hmm. get off that bad path
right.
to where I was headed, which was homelessness, jail, or death. You know, did a lot of drugs. Was into alcoholism.
I'm glad you're admitting that right now, because, Shell, there may be people listening right this moment that are struggling with some of those very issues, and that's why we do this broadcast, is to right. reach as many lives as we can. And you being a professional, an English teacher, an administrator in a university right now, can sit here and say today you did make some bad choices at one time.
I made very bad decisions, and I paid the price for many years because of it. And at one point I thought, geez, I've come so far and I'm going to be 40 soon. And, you know, what's going to happen to me?
You're going to catch up with me pretty soon.
Pretty soon.
Yeah, go ahead.
About 3 years.
Yeah, three. Yeah.
You know, am I going to be homeless? You know, especially when the recession hit again. And,
right.
But just I had this friend of mine who I haven't talked to is still in that same rut that he was in,
mm-hmm.
You know, 10, 15 years ago. It's like he lives in the same town. He still does drugs. He still
wow.
does. He mixes all kinds of things, uppers, downers. And he's been in and out of jail. He's been arrested with DUIs and everything. And, you know, he sent me some very nasty text messages, you know, saying that I got where I got, you know, and I have what I have because I've used people all along the way.
Oh, my.
And it was just very negative.
He doesn't know you. He doesn't know the real Shell. No,
And
you're not like that at all, actually.
And I have changed quite a bit, and I stopped making stupid decisions.
Praise God,
you know,
girl. Yes.
And started looking at my body as a temple that God
Amen.
Wants me to.
Amen.
And not to abuse yourself.
Right.
I do still have some bad habits, but I know after after reading Proverbs.
Drinking's not one of your bad habits.
Moderation, you know, is key.
Right.
And I am an extremist.
Yeah.
In all
Don't you think a lot of addicts are extremists?
Yes, they are. And it's very difficult for them because they can't just do things, you know, with balance. It's
right.
like all or nothing.
Right.
And I have that type of personality, so I really
right.
have to watch. And I know I can never take it for granted that I'm out of the woods. I have to depend on God and sustain my faith in Him and in myself.
Amen.
And rely on others to stay on the right path. Because I could slip. at any moment.
Well, but you understand your vulnerability, but you've been sober now for going on 2 years.
Right.
And it's huge. And I've seen that and been a part of that in your life and seen the struggle and seen the success. And we're very proud of you.
Thank you. But that one decision to stop drinking is the reason why I was promoted in my job.
Woo,
is
girl.
The reason why I can live comfortably and not worry check to check.
Yes.
I mean, because I've been there. I've lived in a car. You know, I know what it's like to hit rock bottom.
Wow.
And I am living a better life. And sometimes I feel I don't deserve it. I have been blessed.
But you do deserve it. And that's the point of our series, that we got to get to our mindset change to believe that we do deserve it, that this is God's plan for us. His plan is to bless us. It's our plan and the devil's plan to take us down paths that destroy us,
Well, he took me down for a long, long time, and I believed I didn't deserve a good life. But now I understand that God wants all of us to have a good, prosperous life, and it's not him who, makes bad things happen to
us. It is not. It's our choices.
We can't change our circumstances or control them, just our response to them.
Right. Exactly. Woo, that's good.
Right, Aaron? Right.
Aaron. Aaron, do you have a comment on any of that? Because that was profound, Shell. And, of course, you all know we don't plan any of this, so we have no clue what's coming. And that was great. That was great.
It was. And I actually just wanted to say, as an encouragement to Shell, that I'm really glad that you shared that, because I know that there's people probably out there thinking like, oh, well, God doesn't know what I've done. And, I could never come back from this, or, I can't turn back to God now because I've just done too much wrong stuff, And so
I'm glad you said that, because I believe that too. It's never too late.
That's right.
Never too late.
And I think that there's a lot of people out there that do think that they've done too much, that there's no hope in saving them. And that's just not true.
It's not true. He's the God of this fresh start. I love that in Psalms where he says, I'm the God of the fresh start. The do-over. Do-over and do-over and do-over and just keep on and believe, God, that you can change and come out of those circumstances. Now, here's Joseph in this situation where he is absolutely blessed in Potiphar's home. And so like the devil, here comes the trial. And the trial is the absolute, it's such a difficult situation that develops. And Aaron, you mentioned it, and we're going to talk about it in a minute. But before we do, Aaron, we are so excited, Aaron Boone, that you are going to be live right now with your guitar and your incredible voice. Oh, listen to the applesauce coming your way. The applesauce coming your way. And here we go. And Aaron is an integral part of our praise band at Beacon of Hope. And we are excited about what you bring and the way the anointing of God works through you. And we're going to get our mics set up here. And what is this first song you're doing today?
The first song that I'm doing today is called Revelation Song. It's by Phillips Craig and Dean.
Mm-hmm. All right. So.
Hold on. I got a new string today.
You did get a new string after you popped one, right?
Yeah, and it's almost sounded like it popped just now, but
there we go. There we go. We're gonna get it. She's got her. Praise God.
Slain, holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the slain, holy, holy.
wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, brighter than every water, such a marvelous mystery. Yeah, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. I will adore you.
Wow. Yes. Oh, thanks, Bill, for putting that applause on there. Aaron, that is fantastic. I don't know if I've ever heard that song. That is really a great song. Wow, Aaron Boone. You know, that's interesting because he is worthy of our praise, and we have to stay in that frame of mind. We're going to go over to Matthew 5. We're still talking about Joseph, but we're going to talk about the event that happened to Joseph. And we're going to go to Matthew 5, and we're going to look from verse 10 through 12. And to paraphrase kind of what happened to Joseph in Genesis 39, things were going very well for him. He was, I mean, the head of everything in the household for Potiphar. He was in charge of everything. If you have your Bibles, let's run over to Matthew 5. Because when things are going so well, don't be surprised if then an attack comes. Because the devil is always ready to attack us. Can either of you comment on that, or would you like to agree with me? That's all right.
I completely agree with you. That's why I said you can't take anything for granted, and you have to continuously hold God's hand.
Yes.
To be protected.
Yes.
Because you are going to be attacked.
You are going to be.
Nothing is permanent.
No.
Everything's temporary, and that you can take that as good news and bad news.
Right.
You know, you just, God is looking for you to persevere.
Exactly.
And that's all you have to do is persevere with him, and you can defeat the devil.
Absolutely. It's in you're exactly
situation.
Right. Perseverance, okay? Because here's Joseph, and everything is going great. And you know, so often, I believe, when things are really going great, our defenses kind of fall apart. You know what I'm saying, Aaron?
I do.
You know, and because, you know, our defenses are teaching the, I mean, you know, reading the word, praising God. Have there been times in your life where things were going well enough that you just kind of got off track of the things that you needed to do?
Yeah, absolutely. And it just as quickly as, you know, you think everything's going okay and you let your defenses down is right at that moment where Satan's like, bam.
Yeah.
Watch this.
Because he's always looking for the opportunity. He is always looking for the opportunity to get to us. Joseph was so successful in Potiphar's home, and all that was going great until Potiphar's wife, Zuleika, or Zuzu, as we call her, Zuleika decided that she was going to press Joseph into an affair with her. And she kept begging him all the time, begging him, oh, come on, Joseph, come on, you're so cool, you're so cute. You know, and Joseph was extremely handsome. I mean, in the history books of the time and in the Quran, it talks about his beauty. There was none like him from anywhere around. He had been blessed with beauty and physical strength and all of that. And so Zuleika set out to trap him, and he just was able by time and time again to avoid the bad trap. you know? And how often that this happens to us, that we determine, all right, I'm not getting into that situation again, or I'm not going to go down that path, or I'm not going to give in to the drugs or the alcohol or whatever the case may be. And then the devil just kind of, you know, a lot of times he kind of waits back and just tries to get us in another more vulnerable time, which is exactly what happened here with Joseph. So let's look at Matthew 5, and let's look at verse, do you have it there, Shell? Can you read 10 through 12, which talks when you're blessed? And
sure.
Yeah, good stuff here.
Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
Ooh, that's good stuff. So we are supposed to be rejoicing when people are attacking us, or when the devil is out trying to trip us up. We're supposed to be rejoicing.
Grin and bear it.
Grin and bear it. But the rejoicing part is so important, because as we learn to change our perspective of the situation and rejoice in the middle of the trial, okay? I mean, we don't know how Joseph, what he said or anything, but basically what Zuleika did was set a trap, and she arranged so for nobody to be home in the household this particular day. And so there's Joseph and her, and she attacks him, and he resists the temptation. But as he's running from her, his garment, his robe, whatever he was wearing, came off in her hands. So she had the proof, she thought, to show everybody, you know, that he had done this thing that he hadn't even done. So back to Matthew 5. Now, Aaron, I'm going to pick on you a minute. Blessed are you when your commitment to God provokes persecution, because the persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. That is, if you make that choice to let the persecution drive you deeper into God's kingdom.
That's right.
You know, because you can make another choice. Do you want to comment right on that?
I don't know. It just kind of reminds me of the story of Job.
Yes.
You know, like, yeah. I mean, even with his wife telling him, like, to curse God.
Curse God and die, Job. Like,
he was just like, nope. Like, I'm standing strong in my faith,
right,
and this is how it is.
Right.
I'm going to grow deeper in the Lord.
Absolutely. What happens, Shell, when people choose the path of negativity and bitterness? What happens in their life? Let's say that Joseph, after this happened to him, we know what happened. He was sent to prison for this, even though he was falsely accused. And see, in Matthew 5, it says that there are times when we're going to be falsely accused. It's one thing if I'm guilty, you know, and so, okay, you know. It's another thing if I'm not, you know, like the speeding ticket I was talking about this morning that I got a few days ago, and I was guilty. And I mean, you know what? I was doing, Bill, it's so hard to understand, isn't it? So hard to imagine. But it's true, you know, and I just, the lead foot kicked in and it happened. But the truth is, I was speeding. Mm-hmm. So it's one thing when you are accused and you were guilty. It's a whole nother thing when you have been falsely accused, don't you think?
Most definitely. It's hurtful.
Yes.
And but those who don't understand will mock you and will persecute you.
Right.
You know, I was talking about how some students accept when I ask them about reading the Word. You know, they, what's the word I'm trying to think of? They take it well, and they are interested, and they kind of brighten up. But there are some who aren't receptive to it, and
right,
they'll say, well, you know, what do you go to church for? And, you know, why do you bother reading the Bible? And what do you know about God? And, you know, it's always poor me, poor me.
Right.
And yet they're the miserable ones.
Exactly. They're the,
you know,
ones.
And they're always coming to my office.
Right. Yeah.
Because obviously they see something in me, or they want something from me.
Right there.
And that's where I feel energy taken
yes
from me.
Yes.
But, you know, it just proves my point that obviously there's a void in their life.
Right.
And they mock me and they say things about me for believing. Mm-hmm. And coming, they think it's a waste of time.
Right.
You know, out of your Sunday to come to church.
Or, right.
Yeah. Or that it's gibberish in the Bible because they don't understand it.
Right.
And yet they're the same miserable ones keep coming back to my office, you know?
So that means that something's happening and the seeds you're planting in them will bear fruit. And, you know, as you continue to minister to them and love them, even though maybe they're not as receptive as you would like, there may come a day when they really are that receptive, you know?
That's what I'm hoping for. I mean, I just think that miserable people, the void that they have in their life is God is missing.
Yes.
In their life.
Yes.
And
it's what Connie calls the God-shaped hole in your life. Yeah.
Right. It's the only thing.
Right.
You know, who's the person who chased after wealth and possession and knowledge and...
Solomon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he found that all of it was futile.
Yeah.
Because in
absolutely.
The end it was living for God.
Exactly.
And for the future in heaven. And
absolutely.
That's why we can laugh when we're... Feel the pain now because we know later on our reward's waiting for us.
Because God is doing something in us, Aaron. When we are going through, say, being falsely accused or even being guilty, like I was of speeding the other day, you know, God is doing something in us, and we may be a little less likely to repeat that same behavior again. Of course, that's what the cops are hoping, you know, that I'll be less likely to repeat that same behavior. But do you want to comment on that, Abby? Just how hard it is to sometimes stay strong in the midst of the trial, but when you got it down on the inside of you that, hey, something good will come of this if I have the right attitude. That's what I'm trying to say.
I think that's the biggest part of things is remembering how much we are blessed already. Even in the midst of whatever trial we're going through, you can, you know, I mean, just think of all the third world countries and everything that, you know, of all the stuff that we have here.
Oh, absolutely.
That they don't have. And
right.
Just take a look at that for a second and realize how much you're blessed. I know there's been countless stories with Terry Marie where, you know, she'll just say, you know, I was at work today and, you know, this person came in or whatever. And I was like, you know, something was going on where she, you know, she was kind of feeling like, man, why is this happening? And then somebody else comes in and is like, oh, well, this happened to me. And she's like, okay, God, you know, I understand that I'm not really that bad off.
Right.
You know,
exactly. That I am blessed.
That's right.
Because it is a perspective, you know, it really is. And you've probably heard me say this before, but if you take a dime and you put it right up against your eyeball, all you're going to see is the dime. Right? That's all you're going to see because it's right up here against your eyeball. But when you take that dime and you hold it out a ways, you know, then you see everything around the dime. Yeah, you see the dime, but it's in a different perspective when it's out here instead of right here. And I think this is a big problem, Shell, with people is that they get so bogged down with the problem, they can't see the blessings that are all around that situation.
Yeah, they focus on just the negative. The glass is always half empty.
Right.
You know, the sky's always partly cloudy.
Exactly.
Yeah, you just have to remind yourself of that. And people blame God all the time. And that I get tired of hearing. And I used to be that way probably years ago. But I realized, you know, it's not God's fault. And when you're thinking about, you know, where is God? I mean, a lot of people constantly say that and complain. Where is God now?
Right.
You know, when I'm going through all this. But the question you should be asking is, where are you and how often have you tried to talk to him?
Amen.
How often have you knocked on his door?
Exactly.
He's always there.
He's always there.
And, you know, we have to remember that.
Exactly. And so we so often get bogged down in our trial and in our situation when there is an answer.
I was just going to say, you know, going back to what Shell just said, it's not God that moves. It's us.
That's right.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Absolutely.
And he stays right where he's at.
Yes.
And we're the ones that move away from him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And that's so true. So true. We're going to talk more about this after we go through station ID in a minute. But before we do, we invite you to our services at Beacon of Hope. And we are excited about our services, aren't we, Shell?
Oh,
we
yeah.
just look
it'll wake
forward.
You up.
It'll wake you up, right? We look forward to coming in and worshiping God and listening to this great praise band, but getting involved ourselves and getting into the Word and seeing what God is doing and how He changes us. I don't know, Aaron. You
don't get excited about that.
You don't get excited about that. Well, have you heard that quoted before?
Not at all,
Bill.
Yeah, well, we have all these radio stations around here. They got this new thing that they got to play with this, you know, about the license renewing.
Right, yeah, we heard you earlier.
I got to do another one. So
all right, let's do it.
Whenever you're ready, this will be 1 minute, and then we'll have station ID, and then back to you, okay?
All right.
All right, take a breather.
On January 21st, 2004, station WTAN was granted a license by the Federal Communications Commission to serve the public interest in a public trustee until February 1st, 2012. WTAN's license will expire on February 1st, 2012. WTAN must file an application for license renewal with the FCC no later than October 1st, 2011. When filed, a copy of this application will be available for public inspection during our regular business hours. It will contain information concerning the station's performance during the last 7.5 years. Individuals who wish to advise the FCC of facts relating to the station's renewal application and to whether this station has operated in the public interest should file comments and petitions with the FCC by January 2nd, 2012. For information concerning the FCC's broadcast license renewal process is available at 706 North Myrtle Avenue, Clearwater, Florida, or may be obtained from the FCC, Washington, D.C. 20554.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
All right. Welcome back to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we're excited that you have joined us today. Or perhaps you will be listening to this show at a later time on our website, where we have now a couple years of our shows. So you can go and listen at any time. It's a great thing in the middle of the night if you can't sleep. Just get up and go to beaconofhopeministries.com and tune into a radio show and listen to the Word and the great music. So we're in our fifth year on the radio show here, which is exciting. And yes, there we go.
And you, what was you saying? You got a speeding ticket?
Yes, Bill.
No, you didn't, did you?
I so did. I so did.
Okay.
That was not nice. Thank you very much.
I'm sure everything came out roses, right?
Well, I got a speeding ticket. I have to pay it within 30 days.
Well.
So if you call that coming out with roses... I don't know.
How fast was you going?
It is coming out roses when you think of the fact that it could have been like, you know, a construction site, and when workers are present, it could have been double.
Oh, thanks, Aaron.
It's part of the dime thing.
it's the dime
thing theory. Just saying, you got to think of all the stuff around it, not just the dime.
Yes, and this morning I was speeding in that very same location accidentally as I was driving and praising God, and that's no excuse, of course. And then I realized, oh my gosh, and so I stopped myself. So from now on, I will be much more careful. I've been very careful all day. I had to go to Newport Richey in between our service and lunch and then the radio show to show a condo.
And you have a secret guest calling in, right?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if that's going to happen or not. She may have been working, so I don't know. I couldn't reach her before the show. If not, well, maybe we'll catch her next week. So anyway, we're glad you've joined us. I am in the studio here live, as always, Pastor Marcia McAllister. But with me is Aaron Boone, the famous guitar soloist, singer, songwriter, producer, composer, and all that. And to my right is Shell Lauren Gray, who is just a wonderful, wonderful part of Beacon of Hope.
I can't play the guitar. I'm not all that, but...
Yes, you're a bag of chips, though. You're not all that and a bag of chips.
And dip.
And dip. But you know what? You and your partner, Diana, have been such a faithful part of our ministry at Beacon of Hope for over 3 years. And
we love you, Pastor.
Well, you should. And anyway... No, I'm teasing. But I'm so glad. You guys, you're faithful. You know that you belong, and you know the importance, like you were saying earlier, Shell, of being in the Word. It's so important. And you know, we're going to talk more about this in this next segment. So if you are in the Tampa Bay area and want to join us for a service, Sunday mornings are at 10 now. And that means that you may have gotten up a little earlier than we used to have them at 11, but it is at 10. And then Wednesday nights, Bible studies at 7. Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, is teaching a series right now called Boot Camp Basics. And this week it's going to be Repentance from Dead Works. And it's going to be really important study. Last week he taught on the Trinity, and we've just had really good response from his teaching. So anyway, you're welcome on Wednesday nights at 7. We get done at 8:30, and we always have a prayer meeting around 6:15. So any of you in the Tampa Bay area are welcome, or if you're visiting our area, please stop by Beacon of Hope.
Two more questions. Your book.
Yes.
And the article with Carol. And the National Choir. Is that on the website? Check it out.
Do you know what? I'd have to ask our webmaster, Maxine. But Carol, who is on the show last week, Carol Wichard up in Georgia, is featured this week in the October 31. National Choir. And it's all about how her dog, Floyd Henry, the boxer, discovered the breast cancer. And this story's gone around the world. And so pick up a National Choir this week and read about Carol. It's on page 8 and 9. And she was also featured on Diane Sawyer's show on ABC News. And actually, if you go to the dog's name, FloydHenry.com, you can hear the clip or see the clip from ABC News. And it's really cool. So Carol's famous, and we're glad she's one of our radio team. And it's cool what happened there with her. So read her story this week in National Enquirer. And that is the October 31 edition. And yes, my third book, Letters to Lori, Little Girl Lost, is out. And they just now started carrying it at Barnes & Noble on their website. So that's really cool. And it has been on Amazon.com, so that's all good. So we thank God for what he's doing through that ministry with Lori's book and what God is doing in Lori, because she's been out of prison now for 6 weeks tomorrow and doing good, holding down a job, doing very well, and we're excited about that. And, okay. So we're glad you joined us today, and we're going to go on with our talking here in just a few minutes about Joseph. Before we do, Aaron Boone, you're up, and what are you playing this time? Let's get that mic set for.
This one is Nothing But the Blood, but it's by Matt Redman.
Matt Redman, he's a great...
Yeah, it's a little bit different than some people may know. Nothing But the Blood.
Can you hear her okay, Bill?
She sounds good. Nothing But the Blood. That sounds like a good name, you know.
Well, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus.
Oh, Nothing But the Blood.
Yes.
I thought you meant Nothing But the Blend.
Yes. Praise God.
Your blood speaks a better word than all the empty claims I've heard upon this earth. Speaks righteousness for me and stands in my defense. Oh, Jesus, it's your blood. Your blood speaks a better word than all the empty claims earth. Speaks righteousness for me and stands in my defense. Oh, Jesus, it's your blood. And what can wash away our sins? What can make us blood of Jesus.
cross testifies in grace, tells of the Father's heart to make a way for us. Now boldly we approach, not by earthly confidence, it's only by your blood. And what can wash away our sins? What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can wash us?
Oh my. Oh my. Woo! That is so good. You're going to teach that to us at Beacon of Hope. I like that song. Just some of the old lyrics from the old Nothing yeah. But the Blood of Jesus and in a new contemporary version of it. Do you like that, Shell? Yeah, that was great.
It's very much like our praise team.
It is, isn't it? We've got
a little mix of the old with a little,
we are.
Little mix of the new.
Do you know what was funny today? We started out with a song that is like 150 years old, I'm sure. Come and Go With Me to My Father's House, because I grew up in Sunday school singing that. And so not quite 150 years, but anyway. And then we went into these Jewish worship songs, which is
awesome.
So good in the Jewish realm. And then here comes, you know, then there was a song that Nathan wrote. So we had such a variety today, and then you know the contemporary stuff. It was just so cool. So our praise bands got a style all its own, and it's very eclectic, I guess.
Very entertaining.
It is, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And you just go from one song to the next, and it's so different. So we just had an email come in, and it's somebody that's been ministered to through the ministry of Beacon of Hope, and she's actually been in counseling with us, and I won't mention her name, but she said that we have been working so hard to show that Jesus loves her and that she is worth it. And she struggles with this every day. But if it were not for Jesus and Beacon of Hope Ministries, she would not be alive. I don't know. And that's not to toot our horn. It's not about that, Shell. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's just we happen to be the vehicle right now on this show. We happen to be the vehicle on a weekly basis. But it's all about us individually catching this vision and being there for people and helping them, like you're talking about at school, don't you think? It's
yeah.
It's not about tooting our horn, patting ourselves on the back. It's nothing like that. At all.
I would just say we love you too.
Yeah.
You know, and you have something to contribute.
Absolutely.
Everybody there does.
Yes.
And everyone has different sets of talents and gifts. But,
yes.
We all are a family. So.
Amen.
We're blessed she is there.
Yes, we
as
are.
As much as she feels blessed to be there.
Exactly. Find your Bibles. Let's go to James. We're going to continue talking about Joseph here. So if you are in Matthew, turn right in your Bible, okay? And we're going back to the book of James, and it's right near Hebrews, so that might be marked in your Bible. And so where we are here, James chapter 1, where we are is that we have Joseph in a very precarious situation because Joseph was lied about by Potiphar's wife, Zuleika, and she led people to believe that Joseph was trying to have an affair with her, have sex with her, whatever you want to call it. And as a result, however, it did not work, this tactic. It worked to the extent that... It took me a while to find James, too. We're all struggling here. It's so tucked in there behind Hebrews. It's really little. You know, it worked to the extent that Joseph ended up in prison. Potiphar put him in prison. This was the state prison. It was actually located under Potiphar's palace. And so Joseph was down there in prison, out of his place of responsibility, out of the beautiful palace that he was living in with Potiphar and his wife. And now he is in prison under the ground. You know, I didn't even talk about that much today. But, you know, Shell, that really is a metaphor where so many people could go upstairs. You know, think about that. Metaphor, that's my word to impress you because you're my English teacher.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, are you impressed?
Say analogy, too.
Is that it? Analogy and metaphor, yes. So he could have gone upstairs to the palace, but now he is relegated by false accusation to the basement, the dungeon. Okay? He is down there suffering and paying a price for something he didn't do. Mm-hmm. Joseph is a type of Jesus Christ because Jesus came to this earth down basically into the basement when you look at heaven, you know. That's, again, is that an allegory now or a metaphor?
Metaphor.
All righty then. We're on the metaphor. And here's Jesus in heaven seated at the right hand of the Father. And the Father says,
"The highest you can go."
The highest as you can go. Right. And says, "Okay, I got a job for you to do. I want you to go to Earth and hang out with those humans, you know?" And that had to be, what a job, what a job. And when you think about that, amazing. Jesus said, "Okay, I willingly go." And he was falsely accused, wasn't he, Aaron?
He was.
As he walked this earth. Do you want to comment on that?
I was just going to say, it wasn't even just like come down and hang out with the humans. It was come down, hang out with the humans, be persecuted by them, be beaten by them, and die on a cross.
There you go.
There's the whole thing right there laid out in front of you.
It was a lot tougher than just hang out with the humans, wasn't it?
It
really was. Get down there and get involved with them and allow yourself to be falsely accused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just crazy.
Amazing. But we know from the life of Jesus, he was without sin. Now, Joseph was a human in that he did not, he probably sinned. He had attitudes, whatever. You know, Joseph wasn't perfect. But Joseph managed in the midst of his trial and this awful event that happened to him, he managed to exhibit the character traits that he had exhibited as a child that made his brothers jealous. As head of Potiphar's home, that caused Potiphar to realize, man, this guy's got all it all going on. You know, he's walking in favor. I want him the head of my home, as we read in Genesis 39, to such an extent that everything that Joseph touched was blessed. And Potiphar basically quit worrying about his house at all. It says all he worried about was just eating three times a day. Joseph was in charge of everything. Now Joseph has been relegated to the basement dungeon. He's down there in the state prison. I don't think these were good conditions. What do you think, Aaron?
Yeah, it doesn't sound very pretty.
Yeah, I mean, just thinking about being in prison or in a dungeon, it can't be good.
Cleanliness is not the first word that comes to mind.
Yeah, cleanliness is not.
Dark, dank.
Huh? Dark,
smelled
dank.
Smelled like camel's pee.
Smells like camel's pee?
Of all the things.
Okay, then. It smelled like camel's pee.
If I was in a dungeon, I'd be wanting an Aaron Boone CD.
Would you? Oh.
To help
you through that?
To help me through it, yeah.
Yeah, but if you were in a dungeon, you probably wouldn't have a compact disc player either, right? CD player. But you know what? But if we remember Acts 16 of Peter and Silas when they were in the dungeon and they were locked up in prison. And what did they do that turned their circumstances around in Acts 16? They started praising God from the bottom of their hearts. I mean, from their lungs. They started praising God. And as they did that, the shackles all fell off of them, you know, and the gates opened. And when we see that there is victory in the midst of our very bad situation, that God's going to get glory here in the midst of it. Do you want to comment on now that, Shell?
You know, while we've been talking about this, I'm thinking in a way, you parallel Joseph.
Me?
With many colors. Yeah, I mean, this is a predominantly gay church, but mm-hmm. it's not just for gays. It's for everybody.
You're right.
And we represent many colors, ethnicities.
Right.
We don't care about
color
your gender
of skin
or skin
none
color.
None of that. We have straight people. Yeah.
Your past.
Right.
You know, or where you're from. Everyone's welcome. But I just mean that what's kept me coming, what sold Diana and I was you. How enthusiastic you are. I mean, today we thought you must have been on some Red Bull or something. You're excited and you just got a speeding ticket.
I swear I wasn't.
And it just goes to show. We believe you.
Yeah.
You're not a criminal.
No.
That, you know, even you who are so close to God, closer than any of us, still suffer and you still have to persevere and you manage to and you put on a smiling face when you're hurting inside. And we're inspired by that.
That's cool.
And I think that's a lot like Joseph. You've been up and down and you've been persecuted and berated and discriminated against and people have left your side, abandoned you.
Yeah.
And you've been tossed to the wolves, so to speak.
I have many, many times.
You still, you know, isn't she still high at church?
Yeah.
High on Jesus.
Yeah, no lie.
Well, you know, I'm living this. I I'm glad you said that. It's so true, though, because, yeah, there's been a lot of times in my life that I've felt like down for the count. Divorce a couple times, you know, painful times emotionally. Mm-hmm. Times with my children, in particular my daughter going to prison a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago now. And the pain that was so intense. I didn't think I could hurt that bad, you know? I didn't think. And yet, God saw me through it, saw Lori through it, mm-hmm. and where we are now, you know? And I think through these things, I'm learning day by day, the great is his faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. That when I don't feel like I can go on, or when I'm so tired, I feel like I can't go into another counseling session, or I can't go show that house. God gives me strength. Amazingly so, he gives me strength. And he just, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And the reason I appeared to be on Red Bull today, but I really wasn't, is because I was so fired up to deliver this word that God had been giving me all week long for this Sunday. And I knew it was going to change lives. And you could see by the number of people on the blue line today for prayer. And there was mighty things. And you know, God had me do something very strange, Shell. I don't know if you saw that from where you were in the back.
I've seen you do a lot of strange things.
You've seen me do a lot of strange things. Well, this was one of these stranger ones, wasn't it, Aaron?
Yeah, the forehead thing.
He had me put my forehead on everybody's forehead that I prayed for.
Hmm.
It was very, very strange. And then I just prayed for them. Pastor Jim was beside me praying also, people behind them. But it started with a little girl there. An 8-year-old that came up for prayer. And God told me to put my forehead on her head. And then he just said, continue it. And I never know what he's doing, you know, but he was doing something by that. That was
supposed to be childlike, maybe.
Yeah, could be. Absolutely. But, you know, through all these trials, God gets glory in our lives, and that's what it's all about. And we have to learn to praise him in the midst of the storm. Ooh, I mean, we've just got to do that. Are you doing Jesus, Friend of Sinners, or are you doing Trading My Sorrows?
was supposed to do Jesus, Friend of Sinners.
You ready to do that one?
I wasn't sure if that was like a trick question. Like, are you going to do Jesus, Friend of Sinners or...
Trading My Sorrows. Yes.
I have Jesus, Friend of Sinners.
Let's do that.
Okay.
Aaron Boone.
Jesus, Friend of Sinners, we have strayed so far away. We cut down people in your name, but the sword was never ours to swing. Jesus, Friend of Sinners, the truth's become so hard to see. The world is on their way to you, but they're tripping over me. Always looking around and never looking up. I'm so double-minded. A plague-eyed saint with dirty hands and a heart divided. Oh, Jesus, Friend of sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts be we just
Incredible. Wow. Great song. Great song.
That's on the new Casting Crown CD, too.
Is it? Oh, that's wonderful. You know what we're going to do, Bill? We're going to do that Amy Grant song as our closing song today, and I'm going to ask Aaron to do Trading My Sorrows live in a few minutes. Do you have it?
I can look it up.
All right. Just got to get her chords there.
Is there a CD of Aaron Boone on your website by any chance?
There is not, but there will be. That's by faith. I don't know how that's going to happen.
I think it could happen pretty soon.
I think it could, too. Mm-hmm. I think it could, too. So we got to just pray about that, and our listening audience can start thinking about that and praying with us about it. Let's go to James chapter 1. Consider it all joy in verse 2. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when, not if, when tests and trials and challenges come at you from all sides. What translation do you have there, Shell? NIV.
NIV.
Okay, you want to read it? It's James 1, verses 2 to 8. Would you read that?
Sure. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does.
Exactly. So consider it all joy when you're going through difficult times. You think Joseph did? Because I do. I believe he did, Shell, when he's down there in that dungeon, or he could not have prospered the way he did.
He could have sustained himself.
Don't you think? After being falsely accused by his brothers, sold into slavery, then having everything go so well for him, and then suddenly falsely accused again.
Yeah. I mean, what more could you put the guy through, right?
Right.
But he never gave up.
He never gave up.
It was his destiny.
Yes, he knew. He knew. That means that he had to have an incredibly wonderful, close relationship to God, because of just his life proved that he had that kind of relationship. And we know from Genesis 35, where he was having the dreams, the prophetic dreams that God was showing him, that one of these days, it's all going to be okay. Even your brothers and your mother and your father will bow down to you. Mm-hmm. And he had no clue how that was going to happen. Perhaps as a child, he thought, okay, Dad's right. He gave me this coat. I'm going to inherit the birthright. Maybe he thought that was the only thing it was, but then it developed in... I'm excited about where we're going in Genesis, because it just gets better and better, the story of Joseph and what he goes through. So here we are. He's in the dungeon. Now, let's relate James 1, verses 2 to 8 with this whole thing of Joseph being in the dungeon. I mean, consider it all joy. I mean, that's hard to do, Shell.
Yeah, but I think that's what God has to do, is he has to break it down,
right,
and test your will, and
right,
put you in the most rock bottom situations, and you're forced to lean on him.
You're forced to, and that, I believe, is where our true character comes out. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at people, you and I both been, you know, professional people in education, you know, and you look at people around you, you know, and you see that some people get bitter. Okay. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was going through my first divorce, I remember studying a lot about this, and I read something, it's not original with me, that the only difference between being bitter or being better is one letter, you know, and the letter is I, you know, right. So bitterness or becoming better as a result of the trial is really dependent upon us. And you as a counselor, I mean, talk to me about this. The fact that we have a free will and we have choices in our pain,
yeah,
that happens to us.
It took me a long time. I'm a little thick like that. But I used to be a very bitter,
okay,
cynical person.
Okay. And I didn't know you then.
I was so angry at the things that had happened to me.
Right. As a child.
That you know, as a child and growing up, things I didn't deserve, just situations and circumstances that I was placed in that no child should ever have to go through.
Right.
But I learned that, you know, there's nothing you can do about what happened to you.
The past is past, right?
You've got to put the past behind you.
I agree.
And forgive.
Yes.
And know that those have hurt you. Were hurting themselves or in some way ignorant.
Yes.
They didn't know any better. And just make the best for your circumstances. Learn from your mistakes. That's what you got to do is learn from your mistakes, right. Not repeat them.
Right.
Not lean on your own understanding.
That's right.
And your own abilities. It takes supernatural strength and supernatural abilities to get you out of these situations.
It does. And you just quoted Proverbs 3:5-6.
Right. Really?
Trust in the Lord with all your heart.
And lean not on your own understanding.
Right? Didn't she?
In all
She's
your ways,
going, that was,
him,
yeah, but you understand the concept. Say it again, Aaron, will you?
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight.
I'm impressed. I prayed that God would, you know, let me say the right things here.
Well, that's exactly what just happened.
She quote did just quote it because I was saying it in my head. I was like, oh, that's Proverbs 3:5-6.
It sure is. So you trust in the Lord. Don't you think this is what Joseph did? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. Okay? It's when we lean into our own understanding is when we mess up, I believe. I honestly believe.
Well, and then if you look at it, how messed up is it to think that we mere human beings are supposed to have it all figured out?
Right.
And that we understand anything.
Right.
Really.
Exactly.
I mean, you have to lean on God.
You have to.
Not your own.
Right. You have to lean on God.
Yeah, because we don't even have the capacity. Our brains are so minuscule, you know, and we're just minuscule in the grand scheme of this universe.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we're small.
Right.
And so we have to go to something bigger.
Right.
And that's God.
You know? Exactly. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Mm-hmm. Make your path straight, whichever.
Depends on what version you're
in. Yeah. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Talk to me about that.
Well, you know, I have to practice being more happy.
Okay.
And
full of joy.
Happy face.
Joyful.
Joyful when I'm heading into work in the morning on Monday. You know, I get that Sunday.
Don't want to go, and it's kind of hard. There's a lot of people that would agree with you on that, Shell, that Monday's a hard day to go to work after a couple days off.
Yeah, but just take it one day at a time.
And, right. Yes. So what we're saying is we have the free will. God is, I love it that God did not make us puppets. Mm-hmm. We are not puppets on a string. We have choices. We make the choices. Am I going to consider this trial joy? Am I going to say, okay, God, I got to read it again. Consider it a sheer gift. And it says in the Message Bible, in the NIV, joy. When tests and challenges come at you from all sides, we're supposed to be like, okay. And I mentioned this last week, and some of them were making fun of me, but I thought it was great. When we have a problem, it's a Yahoo moment. Mm-hmm. Okay? It's a, I've got a problem because now I know I'm going to see God, a new side of him, solve this issue in my life. I'm going to walk through this situation. I'm going to come out stronger in my faith because I have a problem. If we never had a problem, we never learned that God could solve it. Those are lines from a song that we do, Praise the Lord. If we never had a problem, we'd never know that God could solve it. Okay.
You'd never develop empathy and compassion for others who have that problem.
Absolutely.
So you have to go through it.
You got to go through it, you know?
Pruning.
It's the pruning process, and it's hard, you know? But, okay, so you have been at a place in your life, and I think some of our listeners are today, Shell, where they have relied on substances or they've relied on...
Try to self-medicate.
There you go.
And whatever it is.
Yeah. It's to escape, don't you think?
Yeah, it's to escape or just to cope with your circumstances. For some of us, it's shopping, and some of us, it's caffeine.
Right.
It's alcohol, drugs. Everybody has a drug.
right.
everybody, and that's to cope with your circumstances.
Are you criticizing my Diet Coke? Or
no.
Not really. No, okay. Or my chocolate and my M&Ms?
If the shoe fits.
Oh, if the shoe fits. Okay.
Just but, the way all advice is, but...
But the point is, no matter what we use, we get to a point in life a lot of times where those things get out of control. Let's say it's overeating, or let's say it is self-medicating, you know, that kind of thing with some drug, Xanax or whatever. Mm-hmm. And when it starts out okay, but then it just, you know, it boomerangs, and pretty soon a person's living on that, and then it goes from that drug to another drug, and that's how it all develops, because it is that that realization that life is hard, and life is not easy to get through from day to day. It's just not, you know?
Yeah, more people have to find God and use God as their drug.
That's it. They've got to find God and the Word and let that be how we depend. They've got to trade the sorrows. And that's why I wanted Aaron to do that. And you've had time to look up the chords.
I have.
Oh, man. How about that? How versatile are you and your little buddy over there for getting all this worked out very quickly? What does this song mean to you, Aaron Boone, Trading My Sorrows?
Really just, you know, what it says. I mean, just taking down all the shame and guilt and just stuff that you don't want to have in your life and laying it down at that blue-green line.
Right.
And picking up something else.
Right.
And, instead of that. And picking up joy.
Yes.
And hope.
Right. And so often we struggle with that because... I think, Shell, before we get to the song, I think a lot of times people get so used to the junk they're carrying that it becomes very difficult to let that lay it down. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, the devil's like woodpecker. He chips and chips.
Isn't that the truth? So was Zuleika against Joseph, because it says the many times she attempted, you know, to have sex with him. She attempted to seduce him. And yet he kept standing strong until finally the devil set the trap, you know. And we have to be more aware of the traps, the schemes of the devil. We got to be on guard more, because I think a lot of times we get lulled into a place of kind of a nap time, you know. And
sometimes you get too comfortable.
Yes.
You know, you're secure. You're in a routine and you can't let your guard down.
Right.
Because as soon as you do, boom, there comes a curveball.
Right.
It's just going to turn your whole world upside down if you don't see it coming. And if it does, then you know what you need to do.
Right.
And that's not go back to the bottle or
right.
whatever it is that's bringing you down. It's looking up.
Shell, there may be some people right now listening to this show that are addicted to drugs, let's say, and alcohol, that are having some serious issues with that. Do you want to say anything to them as far as the choices and also what life can be like after you make those tough decisions, go through rehab or whatever it takes to make that break or have the spiritual awakening, which is, you know, what is it? The AA, it's
well
step one.
I tried everything to stop, and I couldn't on my own. And I just got down on my hands and knees one day and just broke down, you know, sobbing. And then decided that I needed help beyond what I could do. Because I've always tried to think of myself as a problem solver. You know, I can fix it. But it was something I couldn't fix on my own.
Wow.
I went in and you know, I had to humble myself in front of my doctor and tell her I need help. I had to humble myself in front of my family, my friends, and God, and just say, you know, I've screwed up here. I'm so deep. I can't get out of this hole. Only you can help me. And right. That was the beginning of my healing.
Amen.
And every day I don't take it for granted that, you know, I know I can slip, but that's where it started.
Right. And it's all because you made a conscious decision on the floor, wherever you were, and you said, okay, God, I turn my will over to you. And that's the AA thing,
yeah,
you know?
I either wanted to die.
Right.
Or I wanted to live. And naturally, my instinct is to live. I don't want to ever be a quitter.
Right.
Or quit. So I just, but it was that, it was a turning point, and I was going to go one way or the other. It was killing me.
See, you're saying it was killing you. Yes. Yeah. The drinking was killing you physically, too.
Physically,
yeah. You were at the point of some serious health issues, right?
I was getting all kinds of tests done, and it was affecting me physically and mentally and emotionally. And, you know, my judgment, I could have killed people out there. I was drinking and driving, and, you know, what kind of person had I become? And just a shell of a person that I had used, you know, that I was before. I went through all this schooling, all this preparation, and so it just goes to show you that you can fall at any time. It doesn't matter how old you are, how much wisdom you have. You know, we're all susceptible and vulnerable to that attack.
Right.
But you can overcome it.
You can overcome
it. That's why I have the faith I have today, was going through that experience with alcoholism. Because I experienced some supernatural stuff.
You did.
You
experienced supernatural intervention on your behalf.
Yeah, and that's why my faith is stronger today.
Yes.
And I'm so sure.
Yes. Okay, and you're so sure, and it is spiritual, and so we...
I'm sure God's real.
Amen. And we invite our listening audience, if you need to make a tough decision in some area of your life, make it today as we do. Because this, we weren't planning on doing this song. This is God. I really feel that this is God. Trading my sorrows. Go ahead, Aaron.
I just wanted to make a little comment on what Shell was saying. I think that the story of Joseph and with him, you know, being seduced by Potiphar's wife, I think it's a really clear picture for us of temptation. Leave your coat. You know, like just run away. Run away from temptation. Leave your coat. Because at the end of the day, even though he was falsely accused, he still had favor with God.
That's right.
Continuing on in the story, we'll get to see, you know, how that favor
extreme
plays out.
Favor.
But
yeah.
He did. And, you know, I just think
huge.
It's a good picture.
It's a great picture. Thank you for saying that. Trading my sorrows. So those of you listening right now, make a concerted effort to trade your sorrows, your shame, your pain, your sickness, as Aaron does this song.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes.
Oh, that takes some applesauce there, Bill.
We have a special person on the line.
We do.
Aaron's dad, Bob. Bob Boone.
All right, Bob Boone. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Hey.
We're sitting here watching your program.
Yeah? Yeah.
And I just want to let you know, I went back in the garage, and I've got like 120 of Aaron's first CD when she was 16.
You are
we're
kidding.
Gonna, we're going to donate Thanks, it to Dad. You guys. You can do what you want to and raise some money for the church.
Oh, Bob, that okay. is Thank fantastic. You. That is so wonderful because Bill, our engineer, just sent me a note saying we had Aaron on our anniversary show, which was October the 9th. And now today, and Bill said he would be willing to pull these songs off and put something together and get it on our website. But Bob, this is fantastic. Thank you so very much. And so you cut a CD at age 16, girl.
Something like that.
So is this like a secret or something that you weren't going to tell your pastor? I mean, come on.
No, it isn't.
She did that one. No, it's Come Back to Reality. And then that's got the words and stuff of the scripture stuff you guys were just talking about. And
really?
Then she did a second one called Superhero, and then she had a group called Nevaeh called that did a third one. So
oh my,
he's got a lot of music out
he's
there.
He's just revealing all my secrets, isn't he?
Where's your dad? Where's your dad at? Some supermarket? Sounds like he's in a grocery store.
Don't be upset with me.
No, it's great, Bob. We appreciate you calling in. This is fantastic, and thank you for the donation.
Yes. You're welcome.
And we will get those on our website, and we will start getting Aaron Boone's music out there because it is incredible. It is wonderful. Have you enjoyed hearing your daughter live today?
Yes, ma'am. I certainly have.
She's great.
You must be proud of her.
Yes, you got to be proud of her. So, well, we love her, and that's great. So, Bob, thank you. You just made our day. That's a nice surprise. So, God bless you and Aaron's mama. And I just forgot your mom's first name.
Cindy.
Cindy. I'm sorry. So, That's Bob okay. and Cindy, thank you so much. And thanks for calling in, Bob. And thanks for loaning your daughter to us, you know.
Oh, hey, it's a pleasure. And we enjoyed it. God bless you guys, too.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Wow, that was really cool.
Yeah.
My heavens,
you
Aaron.
You got some splaining to do.
Yeah, you got some splaining to do. Yes. All right. So, we have some hidden CDs somewhere. Mm-hmm, in the garage.
Somewhere.
All righty. This is fantastic. We cannot wait to hear these. This is great. God bless you. That's wonderful.
Isn't that amazing? Because I had no idea that he was calling in. As soon as I put that note under there,
I know.
He calls in with the same thing that I'm writing on that note.
Exactly what you just said right here. You said that these two shows that Aaron has been on, I want to pull those songs from the shows, make them available for people to download automatically for a small donation.
Yeah.
And I'll
show how
we'll tell Maxine how to do it on our website. Yeah. So that is incredible.
It's crazy, man.
No, that's God, Bill.
I know.
That's God, Bill.
He is good crazy.
Yes, he is good crazy. He's good crazy. Woo!
You've
all right.
Exposed.
Praise God. Praise God. This has been a great show. So much fun. So what we've said here is no matter what trials come our way, God's got an answer, and we're going to trade our sorrows and our pain, and we're going to trade our sickness and our pain, all of that shame. I got the wrong words, the wrong succession, but it doesn't matter. We're going to trade all those for the joy of the Lord, and that's what it's all about. And so, Shell, as you began to take a new step in a direction here a couple years ago and turn your life around and allow the Lord to heal you of that past, of the addiction, of the alcoholism, has your life been better since that decision?
My life has done a complete 180.
Yes.
And in many ways, I know it sounds kind of cliche because, well, and also what we've been preaching here is that you're supposed to say, oh, yeah, thank God for this trial and tribulation. But I feel like it's made me stronger. And
yes.
You know, I'm willing to talk to anybody about it, to be open about it, because I think that, you know, if I can do it, anybody can do it.
Yes,
and,
that's great.
I would love to speak to anybody who ever needs help or wants to share their experience or
actually
any questions.
Yes, they can email me, and if I can get it over to you, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com goes directly to my email, and we can get it to you. So if anybody out there is struggling with some of these things and wants to have an email chat with Shell, you'd be willing to do that.
Definitely. Okay. I'll talk to anybody about anything.
Fantastic. Wow, that's cool.
No judgment.
No judgment. Aaron Boone, you have some final thoughts here. We've got a group congregating ready to go on the next show. So we got some final thoughts. We got some couple minutes.
Just really my final thoughts is just seek the Lord in everything you do. Like we were talking about earlier with what Mark Hall said about, come to the well first.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And fill yourself up with the Lord.
Amen.
And allow him to sustain you.
Amen.
Instead of earthly things.
Exactly. And just watch what God's going to do.
Yeah.
Wow. Shell, did you have anything final you wanted to say there before we get Bill to play his song?
I'm still thinking Aaron's got some splaining to do.
Yeah, I agree with Shell. Bill, let's put on Amy Grant, track number 4, Softly and Tenderly, and a little lower so I can talk over it. There are some of you out there today that God has been touching your heart as we've had this show today. Perhaps you're struggling with some things that are very personal, very deep in your life. God is calling for decision. Listen to these words and we'll come right back.
He's waiting and watching. Watching for you and for me. Come home. Come home.
You're hearing Amy Grant right now. We'll keep her on. Jesus is calling. He's calling for you to make a new, fresh decision. To step up and say, God, I need your help in my life. If you are not sure of your salvation right this moment, if you died, would you be in the arms of Jesus tonight if you died today? Now is that moment. You simply go to him and confess that he is your Lord and Savior, that you believe that Jesus was raised from the dead by the Father, and that you turn your life over to him and you ask him to forgive you for anything you've said or done that was not pleasing to him. And you begin this journey today because God is softly and tenderly calling you to him. He's waiting on you to make a decision, and that's what it's all about. God is there ready to help you. And no matter what you're struggling with, God has the answer. God, this has been a joy to be with you today on Living the Good Life. It's just been a joy. My dear, wonderful guests and part of our ministry here in Clearwater, Florida, Aaron Boone, thanks for all that song, all those songs, all that singing.
It's beautiful.
It's great. It was great. And your wisdom, we enjoyed it. And nice getting to meet your dad on the air, too. I met him, but he's a sweetheart. Shell, what a joy. You counselor, you wonderful person, you.
Thank
your
you for
wisdom,
me.
Your wisdom comes forth, and I appreciate your input so much. And all of our radio team, it's fantastic. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister and the gang from Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Join us again next Sunday, live on this radio station at 4:00. God bless you. See you then.